You might think that philosophy is a subject suitable only for grey-haired old men, perhaps most of them dead, a remote academic pursuit, dry, uninteresting. But I don't think that. I think that everybody has inside them what I would call their inner philosopher. It's a kind of voice that you have that every now and then presses you to think about certain questions which in your daily life you don't normally think about, what we might think of as abstract or very general questions. So everybody wants to know what the ultimate nature of the world is, what kind of thing reality is. Is there reality? If there is reality, what does it consist of? Is it material? Is it immaterial? Everybody wants to know what the self is, what their own self is, the thing they refer to when they say I. What is that? Does it persist over time? What kind of thing is it? They want to know whether they have free will. They want to know whether they could act differently from the way they do act, whether they can be praised or blamed. They want to know whether or not they are free agents. They want to know how their minds relate to their bodies. They know they have a mind, they know they have a body. The relationship seems problematic, and they would like to know how these two things, if they are two things, are related to each other. They would also like to know whether they know anything at all. What do they know? How extensive is their knowledge? That's the first question which belongs to what's called in philosophy epistemology, the theory of knowledge. Everybody wants to know where ethical truth comes from. When we talk about actions as right or wrong or good or bad, what does that mean? What's the origin of ethical truth, if there is ethical truth? Of course, everybody wants to know what the meaning of life is, what gives their life a meaning. Is there a point to getting out of bed in the morning? What's it all about? And of course, everybody wants to know whether there's a God and whether the existence of God can be established rationally or whether it's a matter of faith, whether arguments against the existence of God. So all of these questions, which I think people naturally ask one time or another, often after they've had a few drinks, these questions are questions which everybody asks. So that everybody has their inner philosopher. Not everybody, I think, has their inner car salesman or inner paleontologist or even inner historian, because those are much more specialised concerns. But everybody is a person, is a human being, and is confronted with these basic realities and wants to understand them better. So this inner philosopher I talk about is, of course, related to what we know of, often described as the inner child. Not in the sense of an immature thing which we shouldn't take any account of, but the inner child meaning the naive view of the universe. So children ask philosophical questions of their parents, much to their exasperation, very often. Well, that inner philosopher is just your inner child still asking questions after all these years, and we shouldn't suppress that inner voice. It's a voice we should listen to and try to foster. Now, all that's all very well, you might say, but how are we to proceed with our inner voice, our inner philosophical voice? Well, it's not very helpful, I think, just to try and do it all on your own. It's much better to have an experienced guide who will take you through these questions. And, of course, philosophers have thought about these questions for lo these thousands of years, and great minds have been devoted to these questions, and not surprisingly, good ideas have been produced. So you really need an expert guide who can take you through philosophy, the philosophical ideas that have been generated to try to think about these questions. Well, I will be your guide through these questions. I'll be covering with you all the main problems of philosophy, not just a subset of philosophical problems, but all the main issues that there are in philosophy, everything from the nature of logic to ethics, from the human mind to the existence of God, all these questions, the self and the other things I mentioned earlier, meaning of life. All of these questions will be considered in the as I proceed in the course. I would advise you as we go along to look at the study guide after each lecture and to go over what I've said, because not everything will be clear the first time around. If you look through the study guide and you read what's going on, it will certainly help you as you proceed through the lectures to keep up with what's going on, to understand what's been said and prepare you for later topics. As we go on, of course, I'll be building on things I've said earlier on in the lectures. It's best if you can get those as clear as you can at the beginning, and reading something as you go along will be much more helpful. What you need to do with philosophy is sometimes if you're just hearing it, you want to ponder something for a while, and the person is speaking, carry on to the next topic. Well, if you read, of course, you can slow down, think about something you've heard, turn it over in your mind till you think you've understood it, and then go back to it. So really the ideal combination is to listen to the lectures and read at the same time. Whenever I'm teaching my students, I always tell them they need to do two things. They need to show up to the lectures and listen and take notes to the lectures, but they must also read the materials, reread the materials if necessary, and then they'll be prepared for what's coming up later. and they'll have a much more rewarding and enjoyable experience in listening to the lectures.